Tapper Gwynn of KSOW Radio in Cottage Grove, and we are talking this morning. We have on the line, anyway, Deborah Machma, the editor and publisher of Sentient Times, published out of Southern Oregon, but going around the country, I'm sure, and maybe around the world. Good morning, Deborah.
Hi, Scott.
Well, I see that we'll get into maybe a description. There's maybe a lot of people listening that unfortunately have never heard of Sentient Times, but I see your new issues out, October, November. It is a, what is that called? Is that a bi-monthly? Or is that a
yes, it's bi-monthly, okay. And bi-monthly can mean one of two things, every other month or twice a month. Isn't that crazy?
Okay, so it's every other month,
it's
though.
Every other month.
All right. Well, could you give us some background on the magazine, and including, if you would, a little bit of a history about it?
Well, the history of it is it began 11 years ago as I was working on another project, which was a solar greenhouse project along the lines of the survival work of Anna Eady, who we profiled in our August-September issue. I wanted to build one of those greenhouses, and I wanted to use it as a teaching facility, and I noticed that the community of Arcata didn't have a monthly publication with classes and events in it, and I thought, well, I should really start one of those, because once we have our classes and events going, we'll need a place to advertise them. The greenhouse didn't get built, and I've been publishing ever since.
Is the greenhouse still part of the plan?
Well, you know, it really is. It's a wonderful, wonderful way of growing food and creating community. And these plants that Anna Eady of Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts, has developed are just essential to any community's well-being, I believe. So we'll continue to pursue that.
All right. So you started in Arcata?
Yes.
Okay, and well, no, now without giving your exact location, the secret compound for Sentient Times in Southern Oregon, that would be like north of Ashland, I believe.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Okay, so 11 years ago, and boy, what a tour that must have been to get you to this point.
Well, it's all been very interesting. I started knowing nothing about publishing, literally nothing. I was a reader. I've always been an avid reader of books, newspapers, magazines, everything I can get my hands on. And I guess just coming in from that end helped me considerably. But it's been, sometimes I say we should really call this seat of the pants publishing.
Well, there's a lot of that going on. And I would guess, anyway, or my sense of the magazine is that you are firmly emplaced in the what people these days call independent media. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
And I've noticed, the types of articles that you have, I'm guessing also that some of them are ones that you collect from other sources, but some are actually specifically written for your magazine.
That's right. We, thanks to the web, we can read other articles from all over the world and have wonderful relationships with writers all over the world whose work is very very dedicated to the greater good.
Mm-hmm.
So they're willing to allow their pieces to be reprinted often, and so we have a combination of reprinted pieces and articles by authors specifically for Sentient Times.
And would you say that the each of your issues has a, do you try to stick to a particular theme at each issue, or is it more of a collection of the best things you can find between the two issues?
Yes.
All right.
The theme always emerges,
mm-hmm.
and it's always delightful for me to see it when it does.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a very slender thread that runs throughout. Sometimes some of the writers even use the same word, but we don't create a theme and say, okay, next issue will be about, you know, anything in particular, but it always develops.
Right. Well, that that seems to be the sense of the magazine. I know that it's you've had some overtly political things, but you also have it has a very nice, I guess, spiritual bent, if that's the right thing to call it. You cover the spectrum, basically, that one would see in alternative lifestyles and survival in this day and age.
Well, I think we cover the all the different topics and issues that a human being will encounter in one's life. I mean, that's what we try to do. It's holistic in terms of being apropos to our experience. We are not purely spiritual beings, nor are we purely spiritual beings. It all affects us.
So what, can you share with us what you would consider some of the highlights? Obviously, every single word of this latest issue, but some of the highlights of
some of the highlights. One of our writers this time, as we have frequently, is Tom Hartman, who is a Portland writer and radio personality. And he explains in his article entitled "You Can't Govern If You Don't Believe in Government," how the concept that Grover Norquist has to reduce government to the size that it can be dragged into a bathtub and drowned is illustrated by the ineffectual response to Hurricane Katrina. Tom Hartman is a very popular writer. We have a lot of feedback on his work, and he's a historian as well as an author of many books. And he explains how government, when it's reduced to a control situation as opposed to one which is a protective situation, creates a vacuum for corporations and the rich to step in and make a lot of money and control the population.
Well, it sounds like a discussion we've been having at our weekly peace vigils, actually, at least myself and another person. Not really debate, just that we have to be careful when we couch our arguments that we not fit into that sort of anti-government, anti-all-government kind of thing that primarily comes from the right, you know, the so-called right wing, but certainly also from the left.
Right.
Because,
exactly.
As we see, as you said, you point out, and your editor's note, which I, as I told you before we went on, started recording this, I think is very well written and starts out with Hurricane Katrina and the response or lack of response and the things that have been exposed. And that's, you know, if there's a role for government, that's certainly one place that we should be able to expect our government to, I guess, come to our aid.
Yes. Yes. And that's what government is for the people. It should be, anyway.
So some of the other articles in the issue, we've got, looks like Katrina's dealt with, it obviously looks like it emerged as one of the themes.
Yes, we did have a few pieces on Katrina, including one by Jim Wallace, who is an author and an activist and I believe he's a Christian minister, author of God's Politics, Why the Right Gets It Wrong and the Left Doesn't Get It, and his piece is on the national denial of poverty in America, and the connection between race and poverty, and the conservative ideology versus the common good.
And I go on down here, the list of things. It's just some incredible reading, I'm sure. You got Lester Brown, who's obviously well-known internationally for it's escaping my brain right now, the yearly report that's put out that Lester has, at least has had.
Right, from the Earth Policy Institute.
Right,
latest book is called Outgrowing the Earth, and it's about the food security challenge facing us globally.
This is wow. This it looks like this issue should be about 150 pages.
Well, I have to say we pack it in, and some of the complaints that I do hear about Sentient Times when I hear a complaint is that there's too much text on the page, and it's just hard because we're limited by our resources, how many pages we can print. So we do tend to pack it full.
Right, right. And so I read on your website that I believe it said that you have a circulation of 30,000. Is that?
Well, that's a readership, and that's based on printing. We print about 16,000.
Okay.
And the industry standard has it that two people read each issue.
Okay.
So we have 30,000 readers.
Okay. Well, I'll make sure when I get my copy that somebody else reads it.
Well, what we hear from a lot of people is that they pass them around, they save them, they put them on their coffee table, and then people who come to visit them read them, and their kids read them, and it's always very very heartening to hear that.
Well, and it's also a magazine that has ongoing value. It's not like the daily newspaper, which has some value, hopefully, when it first comes out, but there's usually very few things that you read and go, I'm going to keep that.
Sure.
But this is this would be the kind of thing, I know for me, being a little pack ratish, if that's a word, would have a hard time throwing it out ever, any past issue, because it's always, I know I'm going to need that one, but then I can recycle it, right? Obviously, I wouldn't throw it out. I could recycle it, and then I've got your website.
Right, we do archive on the web, so you can read 5 years' worth of articles.
Okay. So you can pass it along, and still, if you do have internet access, you can go to, and I'll give people, it's Sentient Times at S-E-N-T-I-E-N-T times.com.
Right.
What are you working on now? I suppose you're taking a big deep breath, hopefully.
Well, I did take a deep breath, and then somehow I just jumped right into the next issue, because there's just so much going on. There's just so much that I want to share.
Mm-hmm.
And, so that is well underway as we speak. We'll be profiling some sustainable businesses, which we want to do to help others, to help encourage others to embrace alternative technologies for energy as well as socially responsible practices.
Sure.
We'll be talking more about peak oil, which we'll probably be talking about for quite a few issues to come.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting to some people, especially in terms of small businesses. Sustainable in business seems like an oxymoron, unfortunately, because it is very hard to keep small businesses going in this day and age, or maybe any day and age. But it seems particularly like the deck is stacked against small entrepreneurs or small businesses that are community-based. I mean, you can see it on any main street, the main street in town I live in, Cottage Grove. They're constantly new ones coming in and other ones shutting down, and it's a tough business.
It is. I agree it is. But I also am watching several who are finding great success while being sustainable and socially responsible.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it is what you choose to be selling or purveying, or what service you have. Have it be truly meaningful, truly something that the community needs. And it's hard, though. You're right. It is.
Well, certainly Sentient Times would be in that category of a sustainable business. Hopefully sustainable.
Well, hopefully.
Well, for 11 years, anyway.
It's going longer than I ever thought it would.
Yeah.
So I never really thought that much about it. It's funny. It grew. It just became a part of me, and I don't know how to not do it, I guess, at this point.
So what sustains you? What keeps you going? You know, not just sustainable business, but obviously the people that are involved in them need to be sustained as well. What drives you and keeps you going, keeps you doing this?
Well, I keep to spiritual practice as well as being as close as I can to living the simple life, gardening, living on the land, getting in my car as little as possible, and being grounded in the earth, and being a part as much as I can be of my community while remaining solitary in a way, just for my own peace of mind and health.
All right. Well, I'm sure everybody wants to know, how are you doing with that bear? I know you. I love coming up there and visiting your place. And I know one of the stories that, and I always look when I come up, is you have a bear, at least one bear that likes to raid your orchard.
He does, or she does. Mm-hmm. Yes. The cayenne spiced plums were a favorite that one year. We tried to discourage the bear from eating the fruit in the trees by putting cayenne on some of the downed plums, and they were eaten with great relish, and he or she came back for more the next night. Really liked that spicy flavor.
Yeah, well, it's definitely one of the issues that anybody that lives out rurally has to deal with, and obviously it's part of the ecology of living in the country.
Yes.
Not to mention the largest poison oak tree I've ever seen, and I say tree. Most people don't associate poison oak as a tree, but I was duly warned. Don't go climb that. You know.
We do have a fair amount of poison oak out here as well, I admit. But luckily, we seem to be able to cohabitate the environs without a lot of problems.
All right. Well, let's finish off this by letting people know where they can get, other than online, but including online, where they can find a copy of Sentient Times, which is, as we said, a bi-monthly, and it's also free.
That's right. It is free. We're in Salem at the library, and in Eugene, we are at the Fifth Street Market, the Eugene Public Library, at Friendly's Market, Great Harvest, Smith Family Books, just to name a few, also downtown at the bus station.
Okay, we'll have to make sure we get copies to Cottage Grove.
Well, that would be good. If there's a business, a co-op, or a bookstore that would like to receive the papers, we ship them free, at no charge, to the business. So we're happy to share them that way.
Okay.
We're also throughout the Portland metro area.
All right. And how far and wide do you distribute bulk copies that are put in stores and so on?
Well, we're all along the coast, the Oregon coast. We go down into California, Northern California, Arcata, Eureka, Mount Shasta. We pretty much as far north as Portland and as far south as Garberville right now, and points in between.
All right. Fantastic. And I see that you actually, if people want to support your efforts, they can actually subscribe and get it mailed right to their house.
That's right.
Okay. And I will give them the address right on the air here, just to make it easy. It's Sentient Times Magazine at P.O. Box 1330, Ashland, Oregon 97520. Hopefully that's still correct.
That's correct.
Okay. Well, Deborah, it's been really nice talking to you, and I look forward to visiting you again down there at the Sentient Times compound.
Well, thanks, Scott. Thank you very much.
Okay, and we'll run right out there and hopefully find a copy. And would you just stay on the line here, and we'll talk more about the distribution.
Sure.
Okay, thank you. And let me find my recording, get it off. We've been talking to Deborah Machma, editor and publisher of Sentient Times, bi-monthly magazine out of Southern Oregon.